Sherry took a group of students from a local university down to Guatemala to teach a class on cross-cultural psychology. And so she's out of town for 2 weeks. And so I'm manning the fort here. And that's why I've brought Anna on last week to talk about dealing with negative emotions and negativity. And this week I interview Derek Reimer, the co-founder and CTO of Drip, about how his marriage has been a superpower during his founder journey.
So my name is Derek Reimer, and I am the co-founder of Drip alongside Rob, and I also run a smaller side business called CodeTree.
And how long have you been married?
I've been married just over 2 years now.
That's right. It was a couple Aprils ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. March 22nd.
March 22nd. Very nice. And today we're going to be diving into how being married has perhaps changed your journey as a founder. Because, you know, I was mentioning before we hit record that I wasn't launching products before I got married. I've been married for 16 years now, but you had the transition just 2 years ago and you had built and launched products before that and you've done it after. So today we're going to dive into how that experience has been.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode. So Derek, you've been married for 2 years, and as I was saying, you built and launched products before you were married and after you were married. Are there some things that stick out to you that changed during that transition?
Definitely. I mean, so before I was married, I would basically stay up into all hours of the night writing code. At that stage in my life, I was just sort of digging in and learning everything I could about software development and also about launching and building software startups. And I was just at that point so immersed and had such a drive and a passion just to do it all the time. And so I would definitely spend a ton of time just in my room working on coding apps. And after getting married, I definitely, well, I would say rewinding that, even during the process of dating my wife and getting engaged and planning a wedding and then finally getting married, I definitely had a shift in priorities. For one thing, my wife wants to see me from time to time, and it's important to bond in those early years. And so, yeah, definitely like time became a factor where I had to focus in a lot more and try to start using my time more efficiently. I think that was the first big thing I noticed.
Yeah, I remember that transition myself, actually. So I guess the fact that I didn't really launch anything before we got married might be irrelevant, because I've always been working on things and tinkering. And when you talked about staying up until the middle of the night, researching how to build apps or market them, like that was my experience as well in the late 90s. My wife and I got married in 2000. And so in the mid to late 90s, it was always thinking and tinkering and reading and researching. And there was some doing, although frankly, I wish there had been a little more doing back then. But that is one of the points that I remember the most, was suddenly your time, you just have a little less of it, right? And you have to be a bit more efficient with it. And I think in retrospect, like for me at the time, it was a tough transition to not just have unlimited time to do things. But for me, I think it actually was a good thing. I think it helped me rein in perhaps some wild threads that would go on where I'd do some research for 5 or 6 hours about something that I really didn't need to be researching. Did you find that perhaps was beneficial to have less time and to have that constraint? Or do you think it was detrimental to your learning?
I think it was definitely beneficial to just kind of be forced to focus a little bit more. Like you said, I would also do the same thing where just run off on some tangent and just start essentially wasting time and working on things that are not necessarily vital to my learning or to launching whatever I was working on. I feel like having those constraints in place definitely kind of forces you to focus and get a little bit more deliberate with your time.
I think the next step I remember after that did it again to an even more extreme was having kids. And it suddenly takes even more of your time away. And that's beneficial perhaps, but that might, I don't know. That one's obviously totally worth it in my opinion, but that's where the constraints, I think, got so much that I had to start dropping things out of my life. Whereas getting married, for me, I didn't need to drop things out of my life. I guess I needed to drop some things that I really didn't need to be doing anyways, like movie marathons and spending way too much time reading about Dungeons and Dragons or something like that. Whereas the kids thing, I think I had to start cutting things that perhaps were still important and valuable to me.
Right. Yeah. I can remember back when the time when I was getting into kind of software development and startups and things like that. I was also at the time playing quite a few video games. And I mean, that was a hobby that I enjoyed, a pastime, whatever you want to call it. But I think pretty soon after I started focusing more on my relationship with my wife and working on what I was passionate about with my career, some things like video games just sort of dropped off the radar, and I don't have any regrets about that.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I guess that's how you look at it. Like, I know that some marriages, there's a stress or a tension about this where one party, and it's typically the guy, feels like they have to change, right? They have to give up all this stuff that they were doing before that was so much fun in order to be married. And it creates a lot of conflict. And I've had friends who've gone through that. And then there are other folks who get married with the understanding that they are going to have to make some adjustments, and they are going to have to perhaps, whether it's play less video games or watch less football, or maybe not have unlimited time to think about and work on their startup. And so it's good. I mean, I think in advance, like going into it with the mindset of being able to change, and also having, I guess, a good understanding of who you're getting into this partnership with, right? It very much depends on what the other person wants and expects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every marriage is different in terms of how much time each party wants to spend with the other, and whether you value more alone time or more together time. My wife and I definitely are together a lot, and we really enjoy each other's company. And I think I'm fortunate enough that she's also, you know, sort of interested in my work. And so we get to talk about what happens in my day to day pretty frequently. And she's a great sounding board. I think one of the biggest challenges I found was being able to shut off work sometimes, because if I'm not careful, I can have the tendency to be thinking about whatever problems I'm working on all the time, whether it's, you know, we're sitting down eating dinner or relaxing in the evening, and just trying to turn off that part of my brain for some of the time, I did find was a little bit challenging.
I think that's all of us. I mean, that is me. That is every founder that I know who is committed and excited about their work. Sometimes that's when you come up with the best solutions, which is why it's a little bit of a drag, because it can make you think about it all the time. But, you know, you'll often come up with them in the shower or while you're doing dishes or whatever. But it's kind of a siren song, because then it tantalizes you into, well, come think about problems more, because you'll think of more solutions. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
So I totally get that. And I know how that feels to realize, boy, I really do think about work a lot, and that I need to turn it off at some point. It's hard to adjust to that. How did you tackle that? Or like, was there suddenly a realization of like, huh, I'm thinking about work too much? Or did she point it out to you? Or how did it all go down?
So we've been fortunate to not have a whole lot of conflict about it. She's so understanding, and I'm very blessed for that. But I think it's just something that I've had to work on for myself, to tell myself, all right, I'm going to set this down for a little bit, and I'm going to try not to think about it, and we're going to just engage in another conversation. And I think part of what's helped me do that is always making sure when I end my work day, whatever the end may be, I try to make sure that I leave work in a state where I can easily get back into it without a whole lot of cognitive overhead. So sometimes that involves, you know, making a list, or if I'm working on code, I like open a pull request, you know, so I can immediately look at what I was working on, see what code changes I made, so I can hopefully get back into it relatively easily. And I think just knowing that I've left things in a state where I can pick them back up when I need to kind of puts my mind at ease to be able to let things go.
Because that's the problem, right? You're in the middle of this massive, complex thing. You have the whole thing, the structure is loaded up in RAM in your head, and you can see it in like three dimensions. It's like, you can just see it in three dimensions, or four dimensions for that. I remember just being immersed in this data model, and you have this whole chain of things in your head, and then it's hard to stop thinking about it, because getting back there is like 20, 30 minutes, right?
Totally.
And so that's what you're saying, is you basically have found ways to essentially serialize that. I'm being really nerdy here, but like serialize that into a pull request, or, you know, onto some type of document or something that can then refresh in the morning, and you feel less stressed about letting all that out of your head, because you feel like you can replenish. What's it called? Well, I guess it's deserialized, but I was thinking like rehydrate is what I think about.
Totally. And it's funny to observe sort of like how the day has gone will often dictate how the rest of the day is going to go when I do put work down, in just in terms of my mental state. So if I'm working on something and I've just come up with a solution, and now I know what I need to do to solve whatever problem, that's often a good time to end the day, you know? So I've just figured out the solution. I know what to do. I can jot down some notes about it, and then I can walk away knowing that I know exactly what I need to do when I do start back up, and I can just hit the ground running. And that leaves me in a really good state. And then on the flip side, if I know that, like, I'm working on a problem and I haven't yet solved it, and now I have to forget about all that stuff I had loaded up into RAM in my brain and try to come back to it, it's much harder to pull myself out of work in that type of situation.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So you mentioned that time and your constraints changed when you got married. Anything else that you recall changing during that transition time?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it boils back to time. And then, like I was saying, just where I'm focusing my mental energy. And I also found not just that my wife wanted to spend more time with me, but I also wanted to spend more time with her. So I became a little bit less interested in working all the time, which I found was kind of interesting. Like before I was married, on a Saturday morning, I would typically want to dive into some code and start working on stuff. And then after getting engaged and getting married, I found that I actually was a little bit less interested in doing that. And maybe I wanted to go do something with my wife instead. And so that was something interesting, an interesting shift that I noticed in myself, is that every day 24/7 passion that I had for my work was shifting a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. I would imagine that's pretty common.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that she's a good sounding board for you. And there are some long-term relationships, whether they're marriages or whether they're just folks who are committed to being together. There are some where the husband and wife are heavily involved in the business, or where, you know, the wife has intimate knowledge of what's going on a day-to-day basis. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where maybe the husband and wife have conversations about what's going on day-to-day, but it's not a super in-depth, deep knowledge of specifically the problems that you're working on. So I'm curious, based on your relationship, how involved is your wife in your founder experience and your day-to-day workings on your two apps, Drip and CodeTree?
My wife is actually not directly involved in the operation of either of the businesses, but I would say that she's definitely valuable to me as a sounding board and as someone that I can actually often explain coding challenges that I'm working on or technical challenges. And while she doesn't necessarily understand all the details of it, because she's not a developer herself, she's kind of able to help me think through problems, which is really valuable to me. And she also has a little bit of business training herself. She was a business major in college. And so I can have conversations with her about marketing strategies or ads or whatever, and can actually engage in some really valuable conversations. So I think she's just a really excellent support for me.
Yeah. And Sherry and I covered a couple weeks ago this book. It's written by Thomas J. Stanley. And his first one was called The Millionaire Next Door. And the second one is called The Millionaire Mind. And in The Millionaire Mind, he talks about how beneficial marriage is to basically growing and maintaining wealth. And he just looks at data, and the data is very conclusive that it's like the vast majority of millionaires in the United States have had long-term successful marriages in general. And folks, when they get divorced, it typically wreaks havoc not only on their financial life, but it just wreaks havoc on your personal life, and you can't focus on your business, and there's all this stuff that goes around it. And it's not to say that, you know, being a millionaire is the epitome of success or anything like that, but it's just one interesting metric. We haven't seen anyone do studies of founders and successful founders and marriage and stuff. I would venture to say that there could be a correlation there. So obviously there are benefits that Thomas J. Stanley found in his book. Sherry and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Sherry and I have talked about this a lot on the podcast itself. I've talked about the support that she gives me. She talks about perhaps the motivation and the creativity that I've brought to the relationship and kind of upping her game. And the reason we have this podcast and she wrote the retreat book is because being married to me. And so I think there's kind of a back and forth, right? There's benefits on both sides, both to the quote unquote founder, the person who is the founder when you start, and to the spouse. And I think that there's positives that can be passed both directions. So I'm curious what your take is on that. Like, what benefits do you feel like you've gotten from your marriage? And do you think that some of your founderness, your founder nature, has rubbed off on your wife in positive ways as well?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, my wife is actually quite entrepreneurial by nature. Before we got married, she ran her own business. It was, making caramels. And
best caramels I've ever had.
Yes, I would say they.
Please make more.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. But ultimately, I mean, that turned out to be a major draw on her time. And it's something that we had to figure out is like, are we both going to run businesses? Are we ever going to have time to see each other? You know, what's our life going to look like if we have this kind of lifestyle? And so ultimately, she decided to step aside from that business. But I think having my founder journey for her to walk alongside me with has kind of fulfilled some of her desire to be in the game and to kind of go through the ups and downs that are involved with running your own business and the creativity aspect. I mean, she gets to definitely exercise her creativity in the business sense as we bounce ideas off each other. And so I feel like we've kind of just had to discover what balance works best for us. And even though she's not directly involved with my businesses, having this here in her life is fulfilling some of that entrepreneurial drive that she has.
And I mean this in a positive way, but it's almost like a little bit of vicarious living where she can be interested and be excited and feel the wins with you, right? Because that's what, it was funny when you said the ups and downs of startup life, I almost broke in and said, what downs? There are never any downs. Joking, right? Because it's just so there's so much ups and so much downs. Sherry talked about this in her talk a couple years ago at MicroConf. It was about like founder mental health and just kind of staying sane as a founder. And there have been studies that show that people who work normal day jobs, 9-to-5 jobs, tend to have higher levels of depression. And people who are founders tend to have higher levels of anxiety. And this totally makes sense, right? It's like depression can stem out of like boredom and lack of fulfillment. And founders in general don't tend to be bored or not fulfilled. They just tend to be stressed the heck out because they're trying to get stuff launched and keep the servers going and pay the bills and all that stuff. And I think that kind of ties in. There's excitement to that. There's like a level of, the reason we do it is because it is fun, is there is the dopamine rush of, you know, launching the new feature or of hitting a new revenue milestone. And it sounds like you guys have been able to share that, and she's been able to perhaps feel that along with you.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it and say that it's always fun. I mean, there are definitely times where I don't think she really means it, but says, wouldn't it just be easier if you had a regular 9-to-5 job? And so, I mean, I think we all kind of get in those places where things get tough, and maybe she's tired of hearing about our background queue problems or database issues.
Oh my God. I ask myself that very question. Wouldn't it just be easier to have a 9-to-5 job? I ask myself that once every couple months.
Yep.
Also with the same lack of seriousness, but it does somehow feel like a respite, or it could be a refuge of like, oh man, this stuff just never ends, you know?
Right. I try to be as much as I can control it, which sometimes you can't in business, things happen and you just have to address the problem. But wherever I can control it, I try to make sure that, you know, I'm not involved in multiple really heavy things at one time. So if Drip is demanding a lot of my time, then I try to back off on CodeTree a little bit and just pull back. And then if there's a season where Drip is a little bit calmer, then maybe that's when I dig in and put a little more effort towards CodeTree. But in general, I try to manage it so that there's not chaos happening in multiple fronts at any given time, because sometimes that can be, you know, a lot for a spouse to take on as a burden.
Right. Well, I think it's a lot for a founder to take on as a burden too. Yeah, it's probably a wise decision. I mean, as I've gone and launched and built more things, it's kind of become my philosophy of like, only focus on one thing at a time. You can only grow one thing at a time. You can have things running in the background, but to try to focus and grow, it's just too stressful and too much time.
Right.
So we've covered a lot of the benefits and kind of the shared journey and stuff. So I want to change it up a little bit and talk, you know, obviously there's probably been some times where there's been some conflict or where there's been stress created by being a founder and being married. How has that played out? And your wife listens to the podcast. So this is obviously not something that is super easy to talk about, but tell us a little bit about how that's played out.
Sure. Yeah, we haven't been totally free of conflict. And generally for us, it doesn't manifest itself in an argument. It's more of an awareness that things are not totally in balance. And I think that's been my biggest struggle as a founder is making sure that I'm balancing what I'm working on with also maintaining a healthy personal life with my wife. And so we found ourselves in seasons where so we got married in March, and then CodeTree started as a side business sometime around July. And I was very deliberate about waiting a few months until, you know, we kind of got settled into our house and living together and all the new things that come with getting married. Gave it a few months before starting a new side venture. But there came a time where, you know, I was about 6 months into developing CodeTree. I was still quite busy during the day with Drip. And so I was, you know, doing a lot of nights and weekends with that. And we had some serious conversations where she wanted to know, where do I draw the line, in the sense of she's okay being in this state of me not having a whole lot of time to spend with her and instead spend that time on CodeTree. But she wanted to know, how long is that going to be, and can we put a deadline on it? And so that's something that I struggled to answer that question, because you never know how long an app is going to take to grow to the point where you can sort of autopilot it or put it on the side. So we had some tough conversations around that. And I think I set some mental deadlines in my head where I knew that I couldn't do the nights and weekends thing for years, and that I would have to put a deadline on it at some point. And that actually helped me to focus in and to say, okay, I'm going to get this thing launched, and actually force myself to articulate, what exactly do I need to get done before launching? I mean, it's something that I think many founders nowadays are pretty proactive about doing, just as you're immersed in kind of the best practices for startup founders. But it's still something that's really difficult to do, to actually ship your product and commit to it. And so I think having those conversations kind of forced me to make sure that I was using my time as efficiently as possible, and to kind of let her see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it can often be good for you as well, like not just for your spouse's sake, but for you to have some type of, I don't even call it a hard deadline, but a deadline to have in mind. I see founders that, since you're doing it nights and weekends, the thing can just take months and years to build. And that's why I've always been a fan of, like, my approach is, of course, to have the Excel spreadsheet with the numbers that all add up. Sure. And then do a date or whatever. And that's just my way of doing it. There are other ways, but I think it can be a real mistake to not have a pretty firm deadline that kind of drives you to getting something out the door, because it's just a mental burden on yourself, right? To get 4 or 5 months into something and then look ahead and say, boy, am I ever going to ship? Even if you weren't married, I did the same thing in the late 90s, just working hours and hours and not really knowing when I was going to ship, if I was going to ship, if I was making progress. So I can imagine that being a tough thing for a spouse who, especially in the early days, doesn't have the same vision that you might for a product, because you might not even be able to communicate that vision yet, because it's still so early, right? It's such a nascent thing, these products that we come up with. And by the time we launch them or get a landing page up, you at least have a value proposition, and you know, you're trying to get people on board and you've thought more about it. But sometimes you kind of start coding on something and dreaming it up, but you can't even really communicate how long it's going to take or what form it's going to take. And so I know that those early conversations can be a challenge at times.
Right. When it's just you and you're not concerned about the well-being of your spouse, then it's easier for you to say, well, if I take forever to launch this thing, or if it ends up flopping, then all I've done is maybe wasted my own time. But now when you're married and, you know, your spouse is essentially sacrificing their time by giving you the flexibility to spend your nights and weekends on this thing, then it becomes, there's a little bit more, I wouldn't say pressure, but there's a little bit more drive to actually make it work.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing about this whole conversation is that many of the points we touched on seem to suggest that having a significant other or a spouse there actually nudges the founder in the right direction of building their business successfully.
Yeah, it's almost like marriage is an artificial constraint. I mean, it's a real thing, but it places some constraints on what you're doing, and it makes you more efficient with your time. It makes you set some deadlines, perhaps, when you need to. It makes you maybe shut off work at certain times of the day. I mean, it can bring a lot of positive of elements to your founder mental health. I think it depends on the relationship. I think you're, and I am as well, in really good supportive relationships where our spouses are willing to work with us on this. And we do get a little crazy at times, and they're willing to understand that that's going to happen, and then willing to talk it through and say, this is probably a healthier way to think about it. And I know they don't present it that way, but in retrospect, as I look back at the last 16 years, almost all the suggestions Sherry has made along the way when I was getting off the rails or kind of off the radar have been better for my mental health. It's like, you need to work less. You need to think about work a little less. Maybe you need to travel. Maybe you need to focus. Maybe you need, you know, there's just been these helpful things. Now, I think you, obviously you could be in a relationship with someone who thinks about it differently, right? If they were never entrepreneurial and their dad went bankrupt in his business, and she might say that, you know, you shouldn't be an entrepreneur at all. And I think that would be a bad thing. But if you're in like a more healthy, founder-friendly marriage, for lack of a better term, it can put constraints on you that can be good things. You know, constraints are not always bad things. They can actually steer you in a positive direction and make things better, both for your startup itself and for your mental health.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, Derek, thanks so much for coming on the show. Appreciate your taking the time today. If folks want to keep up with you online, where would they find you?
Sure. I'm online at Twitter at Derek Reimer, and I also blog occasionally at scalingsaas.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.